with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're having a conversation this hour about how to have a healthy relationship with our smartphone. Sounds like we're headed into some therapy this hour. But before we get the insights, let's work on our relationship with Wisconsin Public Radio, because it is the winter membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and I'm here with my colleague, Keely Boltina. She's a producer on The Morning Show. Keely, it's so fun to have you in the studio this morning on the other side of the glass.
Good morning.
So at WPR, listener contributions are the single largest source of funding. Your gift keeps the programs you value, including The Morning Show, on the air. Make your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our goal is 10 pledges this hour. We will meet that goal one pledge at a time. So let's start with yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The goal each hour, super important. It's set to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs that you rely on each day, the programs you wake up to. And as an added incentive, here is the awesome thing. Your pledge of any amount, it enters you in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card, because we're practical people around here in public radio land. You'll have five chances to win that gift card. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio has been around for a long time, more than 100 years, and that's because we're committed to quality. And because listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget, that quality is possible thanks to you.
Your contribution makes The Morning Show possible, and so many others as well. When you give, you're part of the quality you hear every single day on WPR. So make a difference right now with your gift, bright and early, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is an opportunity to let the world know you're a WPR fan, because you can get your cool new WPR t-shirt. I may or may not have already made sure I secured one for myself. Ask for yours when you give $10 a month or more, or a one-time gift of $120. Your gift supports the programs that you care about, and you can get this limited edition t-shirt. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have an exciting drawing this drive. Pledge any amount and you could win a $500 gift card for a grocery store near you. You'll have five chances to win. There's a lot of good stuff you could buy with $500.
I would probably stock up on avocados.
I'd get all the little kitchen supplies. I'd buy lots of, like, small cooking appliances.
Wine.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the grocery card giveaway rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. You can't win if you don't enter, so make your pledge of any amount right now. Here's how.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Keely Boltina. We're here to say that listener support, your support, is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on. And that's why your support during this winter membership drive is so very important. Maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And what's nice is that giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and that gift of any amount, like $10 a month.
That donation will come back to you every single day in the form of great programs. Show your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
We have 10 more pledges to go this hour. Our goal is 10, and you can make it happen. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget that added perk, that added bonus of for supporting the programs you love. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. We call this Lanyap in Louisiana. In fact, you'll have five chances to win. Pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And all you sustainers out there, you're in. You're automatically entered.
And remember, you can also support the programs you value, plus get a cool WPR t-shirt when you give that $10 a month or more. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, what's holding you back? Become one right now. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. Ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I just want to mention that Peggy from Oshkosh has let us know that she depends on WPR Daily for balanced news, entertainment, and education. She says, we're worth so much. Peggy, thank you so much, and we appreciate you. You're worth so much. Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. So join Peggy. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and thank you.
The average person spends 4 hours a day interacting with their phone. 4 hours. Think of that chunk of time. The impulsive way we reach for the phone in our pocket, hold it in our hand as we walk, it's always at the ready. It feels like something we should address, right? We're going to learn strategies this hour on how to have a healthier relationship with smartphones. Catherine Price is an author and journalist. She writes about health, food, science, and diabetes and how they all interact. Her latest book is called How to Break Up with Your Phone, The 30-Day Plan to Take Back Your Life. Catherine, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you provide this practical, hands-on strategy solution for, quote-unquote, breaking up with your phone. But our phones help us keep in touch with our family and friends. They help us navigate literally and figuratively through this life we're in. There are real reasons for us to appreciate that supercomputer in our pocket. What is the point of breaking up with our smartphones?
Well, like you say, I mean, they're incredibly valuable tools. So I in no way mean to suggest that people should throw their phones under a bus or get rid of them entirely, because there are many great things we can do with them that bring practicality and fun to our lives. So the idea of the breakup is really to take a step back and to create a better relationship with your phone where you maximize the things like that, that you enjoy or that are practical, and you minimize the things that make you feel bad. So it's not about, you know, dumping your phone entirely. Think of it more like couples therapy.
So how closely is our bond with our smartphones? How bad has this issue become, or big of an issue has this become?
Well, I mean, it depends on the person, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just like any relationship, this is personal. So your ideal relationship with your phone is probably different from mine, just as my ideal relationship with a person would be different. But I mean, the 4 hour day statistic, just to give context there, that comes from an app called Moment. That's a time tracking app that keeps track of how much time you spend on your screen and how the little checks during the day add up. And the guy who made it has about 5 million users. And the average person on there is 3 hours and 57 minutes a day. So that's about a quarter of our waking lives. And just to clarify, that's not time when you're on the phone, like talking on the phone and the screen's black or listening to music. It's just time when the screen is on, which I felt the need to clarify with him because I'm like, surely that can't be, you know,
right.
That has to count podcasts. And he said, well, no, actually it's just the time the screen is on. So, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty major. And some may see the term addicting as a bit of an extreme or drastic way to express our relationship with smartphones. But how are devices designed to manipulate our brain chemistry?
Addiction always gets people a little on edge. That's why I think it's more useful to talk about the relationship. Personally, I do feel comfortable saying that there is an addictive quality here. But basically, you have the same brain chemicals that are involved in addiction activated and being released when you're checking your phone, the most prominent of which is dopamine, which probably everyone's heard of. But dopamine is a salience indicator, meaning that it tells our brains when there's something we should pay attention to and something we should remember. And there are things on our phones every time we check them that make our brains think that the phones are important and that we should pay attention to them, which results in dopamine being released, which results in our brains then associating the phone with something important or to be remembered, which makes you want to check it even more.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many features in the phones that are designed to either trigger the release of dopamine or to just make it very easy to stay on the phone. And my favorite example of that is just with social media feeds. If you think about the design there, they're designed to never end. You can keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and never reach the end of Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever. And that's deliberately by design because it makes it very unlikely or harder for you to get away from it because there's not what's called a stopping cue, which mm-hmm. is something that would force you to stop what you're doing and make a decision to move forward. Such as in a Google search result page where you have to click to get to the next page.
I was on your website yesterday and I laughed out loud when I read in your bio that said, click here on the bottom of my website if you want to get in touch with me because you're not going to find me on social media. I just thought it was an interesting insight there. So what is your relationship to social media and how does that factor into this breaking up with the relationship with your phone?
Right now, as part of the book publicity, I've had to be on social media more than I have in years. But for me, that's mostly just checking Twitter and then liking things when they mention the book, which is just, I mean, I guess kind of the purest use of social media is just self-affirmation there. I really don't like Facebook. Facebook creeps me out. They collect all sorts of data on you and then combine it with offline data sets and the profiles you can buy on people are really, truly amazing. And I also just feel weird about sharing. I guess I'm kind of private in terms of showing pictures of my family to the internet. My big issue is email. That's what sucks me in. And then occasionally I'll go down eBay holes for things I don't need.
Yeah, like apparently Victorian knobs. Your first half.
I was wondering if you'd bring that up. Yes, Victorian doorknobs. Let Wisconsin know I really like antique door hardware, and that it's a thing I'm working on.
The first half of your book is dedicated to the wake up. What was your mission with this section of the book?
The mission of the wake up is to freak people out. So the first half of the book is basically goes through some of the things we were just talking about, how our phones are designed to pull us in and keep us on them. And then talks a bit about what we know about what the extended time that we're spending on our phones is doing to our brains in terms of our abilities to focus, to form new memories, to enjoy the experiences we're having, to sleep, to have relationships, to get into flow, which is a true state of being immersed in what you're doing in the moment. That kind of thing. And then once I freaked people out and myself out, then the second half of the book is called The Breakup. And that is a 30-day plan, as you mentioned in the intro, meant to help guide people through the creation of a new and better relationship with their phone. And for that, I enlisted the help of about 150 people who signed up as guinea pigs to test my ideas. And I combined my research and background as a health and science reporter with their experiences to come up with this structured plan.
And we're going to get into the plan in a moment here, but we understand that our smartphones kind of mess with our memory and they hurt our attention span, changing our brain. What are they doing to our memory?
Memory is an interesting one. First of all, I should back up and say that it's very difficult to study the precise effect of a smartphone on someone's brain because, first of all, they're new. And then second, if you realize an intervention might be negative, then you can't have a randomized controlled trial about it. So if you're like, oh, I think that smartphones are making me an idiot, then you can't expose people. So basically, we're in this giant society-wide uncontrolled experiment where we're putting a very large intervention, which is, about 4 hours a day on our phone, and we're all doing it, and we have no idea what the long-term consequences will be. But what we know so far suggests that for memory in particular, basically the constant distraction that our phones give us, distractions, interrupt the process both of creating short-term memories and then also transferring the short-term memories into long-term storage. And we tend to think long-term storage in the sense of filing cabinets in our brains, which is not actually accurate. Long-term memories are more of a network of connected things. They're called schemae. And it takes time to build these networks. So, for example, the traffic cone is orange, right? So it shares a characteristic with a tangerine, but it also shares a characteristic with a stop sign because it's traffic equipment. And which is interesting if you think about all the different qualities of everything we encounter in our life that could be linked. And the better your networks are, the better your ability is going to be to have insights and deep thoughts because your brain will be able to kind of make these connections between seemingly disparate things. So our phones get in the way of the process of creating these schemae, which is the long-term memory, and also just solidifying these connections by presenting us with constant distractions. So that's just one of the ways that being constantly on your phone, more specifically being constantly presented with little distractions that suck up any moment of downtime, is affecting our ability to think deeply and create new memories.
A couple years ago, science journalist Catherine Price realized that she needed to assess her relationship with her phone, and she's worked on strategies since then for herself to follow, and her new book is out, provides a step-by-step plan on how to keep a healthy balance between life and our smartphone. The book is called How to Break Up with Your Phone. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Can you live without your smartphone? How would you describe the status of your relationship with your phone? Call in or tweet us, hey, you're on the phone, right? At WPR Mornings. We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit right here on the Ideas Network. We're getting practical tips this hour on how we can improve our relationship with our phone. But if there's one way we want you to use your phone this hour, it is to call Wisconsin Public Radio and become a member. It is our winter membership drive, and we need you to support us at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Keely Baltina. Your gift right now is so important. Single largest piece of our budget. Gifts from people like you are what keep the programs like this one, The Morning Show, and all the programs you enjoy going strong. So invest in your future listening with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our goal during the earliest hour of The Morning Show is 10 pledges. We are looking for 7 more in the next 35 minutes. We've already got 3 in, so I want to thank a couple of people. Helena and Manitowoc says, I can't express how wonderful it is to listen to WPR's non-biased news. Helena, thank you for calling during this hour of The Morning Show. Thank you also if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs that you enjoy, and as an added bonus, you'll automatically be entered into that drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. You'll have 5 chances to win.
In just 1 month, there are hundreds of discussions on the Ideas Network. Trust us, we come up with them, we listen to you, we book them, we find them, we make them happen here on The Morning Show. And when you support WPR with a pledge, you're essentially making all of those conversations possible. Take that simple, powerful step right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Reaching new donors is an important part of these pledge drives. Every member makes a difference because listener support makes up the single biggest part of our budget. Your donation right now makes WPR programs possible.
Whether you tune in for one favorite program or you find yourself checking in throughout the day or the week, you are a regular listener because you value WPR. If you've never given before, start off with a pledge of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We think you're going to love being a WPR member.
Our February Membership Drive t-shirt has become a tradition. If you've been getting one every year, you won't want to miss this year's. And if you haven't gotten one before, you can start your collection now. What does this year's t-shirt look like?
I like how simple the design is and how simple the Wisconsin Public Radio lettering is.
Oh, it's a heart. It's a heart with the state of Wisconsin at the very center of it.
I see a gray background and a burnt sienna heart in the middle. Wisconsin would be, I guess, a nice orange.
Ask for your WPR t-shirt now. Give $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Good morning. I'm here with my colleague Keely Baltina, and we are asking for your support during this winter membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs that you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
And think about what you spend every day. It's easy easy to spend just a little bit of money, a dollar or even more, on things that are part of your routine. Like, a cup of coffee or a snack from the vending machine.
Consider the news, the information, the inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. Maybe a dollar a day that comes to $30 or $31 a month is just the right donation for you. Give that dollar a day right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the programs that you enjoy every day.
Kate, we got another pledge in. That means we have six more pledges to go in 32 minutes. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's such an important part of making the programs you enjoy possible.
And your pledge right now, it is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks for your support. When you reach for your phone, why are you reaching for it? What role is it filling? Information, entertainment, to fill time, to not have to engage in conversation with someone else next to you, to look important? Lots of questions to ask ourselves this hour as we explore smartphones and our need to look at them. Catherine Price's new book is How to Break Up with Your Phone, the 30-Day Plan to Take Back Your Life. You can join in with your questions and your personal tips at 800-642-1234. What happens when you unplug or take a so-called digital detox? Call in or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Catherine, let's start with the opening step or strategy of your plan. What can we do as a first step?
Well, the first step of the plan is really to get a sense of where you are right now in your relationship and to try to identify where you'd like to go with it. So one thing to do is to download a time tracking app such as Moment or Quality Time and see how much time you're spending on your day. I'm sorry, on your phone each day. The next thing to do is really to take a step back and start to pay attention to when you reach for your phone, what you're doing on your phone when you reach for it, and how it makes you feel. And that's actually a really important step that I think we often bypass because we tend to either want just a list of tips and tricks for how to spend less time on our phone, or we think about it as a digital detox where it's supposed to be totally unplugged, and we don't actually take the time to ask these broader, more philosophical questions. And if you don't ask those questions, then you're doomed to failure, I can already tell you, because if you take your phone out of your bedroom and don't have a plan for what you're going to do instead of your phone in the bedroom or an idea of what you want to, you know, why you were reaching for it in your bedroom to begin with, it's just going to come back to your bedroom. So one of the first things I have people do is to create a stopping cue for themselves, which is something that makes you pause and have to make a decision if you want to move forward. You can do this just by putting like a rubber band or a hair tie around your phone so that you feel something weird when you reach for it. Or I also created these lock screen downloads that people can download for free from the book's website, which is phonebreakup.com. And they say things like, do you really want to pick me up right now? Or what do you want to pay attention to? Or what for, why now, what else? And those are things that you can use to just kind of jolt yourself out of autopilot and begin to become more conscious of when you reach for your phone, with the next step being that once you're more conscious of these automatic actions, you can decide whether or not you want to actually continue to perform them.
Well, if you have an app that is tracking how much you're using your phone, you're still going to end up looking at the app and being curious and being attracted back to the phone.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But again, this is an instance where you're using a tool on the phone, right? It's a tool, not a temptation. I do not think you're going to get lost in a spiral of looking at your data on one of these apps. There's only so much you can find out from them as opposed to going to Facebook. That does bring up a good point in terms of something that is a practical tip, which is that your home screen of your phone should only contain tools, not temptations. I mean, I would really recommend getting social media apps off your phone entirely. Just delete them and look at social media through a browser instead, because the apps are particularly difficult to stop using. But in terms of the home screen, put tools and then put apps that actually remind you of behaviors that you want to be performing. So Moment actually is a good one because it's a reminder that, oh yeah, I'm trying to keep track of my phone time. Or for example, I have a meditation app on there to be like, oh yeah, I say that I want to meditate, or I have a guitar tuning app, which because I want to play more guitar. So that means when I turn on my phone and I haven't been stopped by one of those stopping cues and I'm faced with that home screen, the things on my home screen are triggers for behaviors that I actually want to be doing.
Ah, well, the impetus for you to go on this breakup mission and to really look at strategies came from when you became a mother and how you wanted to be a model for your own child. How should we be aware of that if we have perhaps teens out there who are using their phones?
The first thing I think that we parents need to do is really take a look in the mirror at our own behaviors. And I don't mean that in like a judgy sense at all, but I think from my experience, both talking to people and observing the world, we are really concerned about our kids. And I do think there's good reason for that because their brains are developing for the first time. But we adults are spending a lot of time on our phones too, and it's also changing our brains. And I don't think it's really fair to start demanding that our kids and teenagers spend less time on their devices or demand devices less if we're sitting at the dinner table with our phones next to us at the play setting, scrolling through Twitter or email while we're having a family dinner. So I think the first thing is really to get a sense of your own usage. Also, ask your kids what they think about your phone usage and your relationship with your phone. Because in many cases that I've encountered, the parent will think they're totally fine and don't have any issues at all. And then the kid is like, you're on the phone all the time. And that can be a really sobering wake-up call, I think, for people.
Let's bring in Colby in Dubuque to this conversation at this point. Colby, hi.
Hi.
Go ahead.
How do you, not so much personally, because I use my phone for work, so when I'm at home, I almost despise it, but how do you get a family member or spouse to understand that they're using their phone too much or disattach from it?
And that's an excellent question. I think one thing is if there, as I was just saying, if there is a kid in the house, use the kid. It's very effective because if a five-year-old is like, mommy, pay more attention to me, that's like, how can anyone's heart not be broken? But other ideas, I mean, is to come at it as a group or as a thing that everyone's doing together. Like, oh, I heard about this phone thing. Like, let's try this together so it doesn't feel so much as a confrontation as it does of like an interesting experiment that maybe we should try. Let's just see what our phone usage is. I think it can be tricky. It almost does almost feel like an intervention, right? Where you have to like sit someone down and be like, you're using your phone all the time. And I think it does take time for people to recognize that. I did come up with a sneaky way just in terms of my own. I was trying to figure out a way to help people send anonymous invitations to people in their lives about breaking up with their phone. And it was really hard to figure out how to do this without risking tons of spam. And then I realized you can actually send copies of the book anonymously to people, just not sign the gift receipt. So I'm not endorsing that necessarily. I guess I kind of am, but that's one, I mean, I guess it proves how difficult that situation is, but I do think it could be, depending on their sense of humor, it kind of interesting to just have a book show up at the door and then claim to have no idea where it came from.
Colby, thank you so much for the call. Why is it that people get defensive about their phone use?
Yeah, I think it's because none of us want to think we've got a problem, right? Or an addiction, or, you know, if someone's like, yeah, I think you've been drinking too much. I mean, you feel this sense of shame and guilt, and the immediate response is this kind of defensiveness. And I think that phones are easier to defend than other substances. I mean, for many reasons, but one is that there are many legitimate things we do on our phones, and it's really easy to blame work. You know, oh no, I have to be on it for work. I have to be on it if someone tries to get in touch with me. And I think that, yeah, our natural defensiveness really springs up very quickly.
Well, so we're trying to change our habits here, but do you think people can go in phases? They can fall off and then go back on, or they realize they hit a tipping point and then they pull back? Do you think this goes in phases?
Well, I think that it's almost like that brings up an important point, which is that we don't want to look at this in terms of a diet or something that you have to stick to. This has a very like negative and restrictive feeling to it, which pretty much means you're going to fail at it. Right. So I like to think of it not as spending less time on your phone, but in spending more time on your life and restructuring your life and the way you use your phone so that you are prioritizing things in your real life that bring you meaning and joy. And once you start to think of your phone in that capacity, where it goes from a temptation and a source of mindless entertainment to something that actually is stealing your time and attention away, then it becomes a lot easier to just develop, I would almost say, like a lifestyle that has less of the phone in it. If that makes sense. So it's not like sticking to it. It's like, you know, you're just living a different way and you're using this awareness of your relationship with your phone to push you in the direction that you want to be going.
And hopefully the person will also feel differently once they live differently with their relationship with their phone.
I think definitely. I think that that's another thing. I mean, if you can get past that initial, I don't have a problem. I mean, I wouldn't recommend like necessarily being like, you have a problem. I don't have a problem. But more like, you know, if you actually start to pay attention to what you feel like when you're on your phone, and if you're actually enjoying it, and if you can pay attention to your levels of anxiety, that could be very interesting, because we just don't pay attention to our emotions and our physical bodies that much. And for me personally, when I mean, I started the experiment by actually doing a 24-hour break from my phone with my husband just to see if we could and what it was like. And it was very interesting, because at first we felt completely twitchy. You know, we're trying to come up with all these excuses of why we need to check our, because we're so important. We need to check our phone. Someone's getting in touch with us. No one was getting in touch with us. But then as the weekend went on, there was a sense of relaxation, physical and mental relaxation, that was very surprising. And then when we went to pick up our phones again, I could almost feel like this wave of tension come back at me of all of these like things to keep track of. It was almost this mental exhaustion of feeling the need to, you know, keep all this stuff in mind and respond to all these things, that made me actually not want to reach for the phone as much for the rest of the week, which is a very interesting kind of hangover from that experiment that felt really good. Anyway, I guess what I'm saying is this is we should be thinking that this is a way to make ourselves happier, not as a way to restrict ourselves.
Some recent studies have put some numbers on smartphone use. Heaviest smartphone users go to their phone perhaps thousands of times a day. So we're trying to get practical tips on how to back off a bit with Catherine Price. Her new book is How to Break Up with Your Phone. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Your tips, your strategies, your questions. But let's not break up with your relationship with being a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. We want to get into more relationships with listeners during this winter membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Keely Baltina. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, in-depth discussions, news you can use, and we rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
You need to know that listener support is the single largest piece of our budget. And that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been appreciating this conversation about our relationship with our smartphones, perhaps how we can use them differently in our life. You've been getting research, you've been getting data and practical tips all bundled up into the hour. WPR is listener supported. That means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour, you make many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your pledge.
We are looking for four more pledges in the next 20 minutes. Your gift right now is so important. Be one of those pledges. When you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
Thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll automatically be entered in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card, and you'll have five chances to win.
I have to admit that my favorite part about giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is that it's so easy. It takes just a few minutes to make your contribution, and you get so much back. Consider a 9XM leadership gift of $100 a month or more.
That comes down to about $3 a day, and it makes the talk, the news, the music, the entertainment that you count on from WPR possible. Your 9XM leadership gift makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible today. It makes it possible for future generations. So give as generously as you can at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Lance from Madison.
And I'm Cheryl.
When did we become sustaining members? Cheryl, I'm trying to remember. It's been quite a while. You do
I
the
think
finances.
Maybe it was about the same time that I moved here. So we've probably been sustaining members of WPR for about 10 years. We had each supported public radio in our respective states. And when I was an Iowa resident, I supported Iowa Public Radio and Lance supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And so I think when I moved here to Wisconsin, to Madison, we just pooled our efforts and decided to become become sustaining members, because we realized what a big part of our everyday life WPR had become and felt morally obligated to help support the, the programming.
Feel good and make a difference right now at WPR.org.
Oh, that's such a sweet thing to hear, these personal stories about their relationship with Wisconsin Public Radio. 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Keely Baltina, producer on The Morning Show. And we are raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs that you enjoy on the air. Whether your pledge is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on each and every gift.
Don't let a question stop you from donating. You might be wondering, how much should I give? Well, that's up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs, programs that keep you informed and also a little bit entertained all year long.
Make your pledge right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. The medical community as a whole is pretty concerned about our behavior with phones. Psychologists who study technology say that the average adult checks their phone anywhere between 50 to 300 times a day, and smartphones use psychological tricks that encourage our continued high usage, similar mechanisms to how slot machines used to hook gamblers. So with this context, we're reaching out to author and science journalist Catherine Price. Her new book is out. It's called How to Break Up with Your Phone, getting your thoughts on your phone usage, how your teens use their phones. 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Catherine, it's interesting that there are entertainers, performers who are seeing people in their audiences so distracted by their phones that they can't focus on what is happening on stage or a music concert. So there's this new thing coming out, cell phone pouches, now being used by various organizations to avoid cell phone distractions during concerts. Entertainers like Chris Rock using this type of thing, having people put away their phones during, literally parting from their phones during a concert or an entertainment event. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that anyone who's really stuck up on the word addiction should take a look at what the reactions of people probably are when their phones are taken away from them for those concerts and those shows. I think it's really telling how attached we are to these things. And it also gets back to a point we were talking about earlier in terms of memory and experience, which is that I think in a way it's, I mean, we should try to put away our phones if we're not required to during moments like that. Because if you're not actually paying attention to the experience in front of you, you're never going to remember it. Your memory of that show is going to be you looking at your phone or looking at the show through the lens of the phone because you're recording the show on your phone.
When you shouldn't be.
well, I mean, you know, maybe, I don't know, in the sense of like the performer might not want you to, maybe you shouldn't be. But in terms of your own experience, you probably shouldn't be because you're basically making yourself a spectator to your own life. And that's just not as memorable. And I think that touches on a bigger theme in the book, which is that your life is what you pay attention to. So anytime you're making a decision in the moment about what to spend your attention on, you're making a broader decision about how you're spending your life, your finite time of life. And so if you choose to spend your attention on your phone, then your phone is your life. And I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with that, but I don't know that most people would listen to that statement and say, yes, that resonates with me. That is what I want my life to be, you know? And that's what I'm trying to help people, help empower people to recognize that and to make changes so that their life is what they want to pay attention to.
But I think people get caught up in a difficult position when it comes to their job and their phones. They're having to check their phones because work may be calling or maybe, you know, sending a Slack message or an alert or something like that. How can we develop a professional relationship with our phones and how they correlate to our work?
Well, this brings up a good point that phones have entered our lives so quickly that we haven't really figured out etiquette, whether it's personal or professional, around how to use them. And we haven't had a discussion about the effects on productivity that having this constant connectivity is having on us. I think it's important for people who are in a position of power in a workplace to think harder about how they want their employees to feel in terms of their requirements to stay connected at all times. Because in reality, if you've got your employees checking their phones all the time to see if you've sent a message, they're also probably going to be going over to Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and all these other things because they're there tempting people. It's not good for productivity. So I think that that's an important conversation to have. And then in terms of things you can do to actually limit this, I mean, you can set a VIP list of contacts whose emails and phone calls and texts you will get notified about. So you could put important work contacts on that list so that you find out when they contact you, but you're not distracted by all the other things. And you can also set auto responses to text messages. There's a do not disturb while driving feature on the iPhone that actually has that capacity. And there's an app called Lil Space, L-I-L Space, like S-P-A-C-E, that has an autoresponder for Slack feature. So if you are in a Slack group and you're worried people are going to get pissed off or worried about you not responding in 5 seconds, you can say, hey, like, I'm taking a productivity break. So I think, I mean, on both sides, we need to be more.
Right,
yeah, I know, right? That's funny. Like,
is that an oxymoron?
I don't think I'd ever said that before, but yeah, I guess it is both an oxymoron and also really true.
Let's bring in Sherry to the conversation in Superior. Hi, Sherry. Go ahead.
Hi. I just found it interesting. I work at a school. So I've seen kids at table with their friends. Nobody's looking up. Everybody's looking at their phone. And I'm always just stunned by that. I'm like, you're with real people. Talk to them. You were just talking about how going to concerts and videotaping and not experiencing that. And I remember when the video camera craze came in, and I was one of those parents who was videotaping everything my child did. And at some point I just said, no, I'm missing out on what they're doing because I'm taping this thing and I'm not experiencing it. And once I put that down, it was really freeing. I experienced this at a concert at Chautauqua a couple years ago. The performer said, hey, you're here to hear my music. I don't want to see any cell phones. Just please put them away. And it was the most enjoyable concert I've been to in years, just because you didn't have 50 people holding up trying to get a really bad video and a really bad picture of the person performing. And it was wonderful. So,
Sherry, how is your relationship today? Because your phone can capture video at any time.
Yeah, but it's really not as good as experiencing it. There's something that happens to your heart when you're watching something really beautiful or something that's really like a good music or a good picture that you just don't capture. Now, my brother's a photographer. He takes really wonderful pictures, but he's going out just to do that. Mm. He's not trying to capture every event of his life and then put that in his phone.
Sherry, thank you so much for the observation. Catherine Price, you know, seeing things just through our eyes and not having the technology as the filter. But then again, there is that pull to Instagram to be able to capture this moment and to share it because we're social human beings at our core.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who's kept a journal since I was like 5, and my mom used to actually carry around one of those video cameras that's like, you know, I don't even know what's the size of. It's like the size of a suitcase on all the vacations. I certainly feel that. And so for me, that's a constant pull. Also as a parent, like, oh, this is such an amazing, cute moment. I want to take a photo. So I think we'll always feel that pull, and there's a balance to be had. But certainly nice to have photo albums and things to look back on. But one thing I try to do for myself in those moments is strike a compromise where I think, okay, I'm going to take a mental photograph of this moment. I am going to pretend that, like, almost I'm the camera and just be in this moment. I just had a book launch party on Sunday, and I had some performers there, and there was this musician, amazing musician, and she was playing, and I, you know, it's such a hectic moment, and I just thought, okay, I need to like be here in this moment right now and just absorb everything that's happening and just take this experiential photograph of sorts for myself so that I can look back on that in my own, as Sherry was saying, heart, you know, and know that that happened and be able to reflect on it. And I also just think it's really interesting as her comment kind of brought up that you can have this thing. It's like an inanimate block we carry in our pockets. And all of a sudden we're talking about the sublime, right? It's like really interesting to me how quickly you can go from just this device to deep philosophical questions.
Week 4 is the final step, and you title this as your new relationship with your phone. What is the goal of this week, and what does this new relationship look like?
Well, what the new relationship looks like is a personal thing. So basically the previous 3 weeks are all about figuring out what you want your personal relationship to be and then making changes to get there. So the fourth week is meant to be kind of a place to for people to lock in the habits that they have created over the previous weeks of the breakup, really identify clearly what worked for you, what didn't work, what do you want to continue, what are you taking away from this experience, how are you going to keep yourself on track. So it's really meant as a time for people to put everything together that they've been doing over the previous weeks of the breakup and take that with them so that it's not just something that you do on and off or something that you try and then forget about.
If you could leave us with a final tip that you'd like to share about how to have a healthy relationship with our smartphones, what would you say? What would you tell us?
I would say to remember that we are not immortal and that our time is finite. And just ask yourself, how much of your life do you want to spend on your phone?
Catherine, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Catherine Price is an author and journalist. She writes about health, food, science, and diabetes. Her new book is called How to Break Up with Your Phone, The 30-Day Plan to Take Back Your Life. This hour of the morning show was produced by Nyjah Ellison and Bill Martins. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and now let's check in on our totals and our hourly goal on the winter membership drive. Keely Beltina, my colleague here in the studio, she is a producer on the morning show. By the way, your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs that you enjoy on WPR. In fact, listener support is the single largest piece of the budget. This drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying this conversation about breaking up with your smartphone. And I have to say, Kate, already I am taking some points away. My smartphone is there, but I'm trying not to just pick it up out of habit. We do, though, think that if you happen to have yours in your hand, you should use that smartphone on the WPR app or at WPR.org. WPR is listener-supported radio, and this is your opportunity to donate. So when you give at 888-202-2552, or with the donate button on your smartphone, you can make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose any amount that works for you. Take just a few minutes and make your pledge.
Oh, look at that. We have met this hour's goal.
It just happened.
I love it when I look over at the screen and you see that it's not a negative. That's great. Hourly goals, so important as they make sure that we have the funding for the programs that you enjoy. Make your donation now. Keep the momentum going at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And think about that added bonus. You'll automatically be entered in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. 5 chances to win.
Now is the time. Make an ongoing gift of $15 or $20 a month or whatever amount is right for you. Set that up on your credit card or debit card, or better yet, right from your bank account. That's what we call a sustaining gift. And the beauty of it is that you don't have to remember to renew it when your support comes up each year.
Your support will be as consistent as your WPR listening month after month, year after year. So become a sustainer right now. Set up your ongoing gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What kinds of things do you spend a dollar a day on?
I easily spend a dollar a day on coffee, even if I buy cheap coffee.
My gym membership, I definitely spend probably more than a dollar a day on.
The bus.
Easily gum. Spinach.
I spend a buck or two on a delicious treat every day, though I do share it with a friend often.
It's easy to spend a dollar a day, or even more, on things that are part of your daily routine. What about Wisconsin Public Radio? Every day you get information and news that helps you understand the world. You also hear music that lifts your spirits and entertainment that makes you smile. So invest a dollar a day in Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, indeed. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Keely Baltina in the studio. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on each day. And that is why your support during this winter membership drive is so very important. Maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
It's easy to come up with reasons to give to WPR. This show is an example. We have thought-provoking conversations about the community and about you as an individual. If you haven't donated yet, you probably also have a reason for not giving. Maybe you think you can't give enough to make a difference or that someone else will give. This is the time to contribute. Don't put it off.
Don't wait. Do it now. Don't wait for someone else to donate. Your neighbor, your friend, your membership right now makes a difference. Your support matters. Start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month right now today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network.